Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, starting with the 12th verse. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding for you today for your good? Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me on the inside of your bulletin the catechetical review on the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment: honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Our epistle reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sothenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the gospel.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Repeat the Nicene Creed, found in the back cover of your...
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us of Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is based upon the gospel reading from Matthew 22. We read these verses again. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put my enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" This is our text. Dear Christian people, friends, the question of authority always arises. Our legislatures, both state and federal, pass laws, and then those laws are challenged in the courts, and it works its way up to through the court system, and then finally, there is a last word, and the Supreme Court speaks that last word of authority. In our families, in our marriages, husband and wife become one flesh. They talk things over, they make decisions, and then they live by that. In my marriage and family, I always have the word of authority, the last word, "Yes, dear." It's an old joke, I know. The question of authority comes up before us today. Jesus is confronted with the Pharisees, and he asks them about the Christ. Whose son is the Christ? The son of David is the answer. And Jesus says, "But David called him Lord." Who has the final authority? Who is this Jesus the Christ, the anointed, the promised one? He is the Christ, the Son of God, true man, and he speaks with authority. He has the last word. And that last word to us is a word of love and grace and forgiveness. Our text has taken place in the middle of Holy Week. It's probably about Tuesday of Holy Week. We know what happens on Good Friday and then on Easter. We're in the middle of Holy Week. He has just, on Sunday, marched into Jerusalem. And what did the people hail him as? The Son of David. So he marches into Jerusalem on Sunday, and we see that the religious establishment is against him. The religious establishment, which comprises the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees denied the resurrection of the dead. They were more political, worried about Rome and governance. The Pharisees followed the laws of Moses and believed in works righteousness. Both of them were challenged by Christ. Both groups wanted to get rid of Christ. Just before the Pharisees approached Jesus, the Sadducees came with a question about this woman whose husband died. She married the brother, he died, and so on for seven husbands. Whose wife would she be in the resurrection on the last day? The Sadducees asked that, who did not believe in the resurrection. And Jesus said, "Neither one. In the resurrection, we don't have normal marriage. We're like the angels." They were silenced. So now the Pharisees come to Jesus with the intent to test him, to get him out of the way, get him to deny the truth of God's word. They try to discredit him and take him down. They ask him about the law, which is the first and great law. And Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. you shall love your neighbor as yourselves. The two great commandments, love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourselves. These are the two tables of the law. The first and great commandment, love the Lord your God, deals with man's relationship to God, how God wants us to act toward him. The second table of the law, which are summarized in commandments 4 through 10, talk about how we relate to our neighbor. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. This is how we live with, how God wants us to live with our neighbor. Notice that Jesus upholds the law. What is the great commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Second is like it, love your neighbor as yourselves. Does Jesus come to abolish the law? No, he upholds the law. But then Jesus asked the question, follow-up question, about whose son is the Christ, the son of David. Well, how can he be the son of David if David calls him Lord? We see in this Christ a unique individual. He is the son of David. He is a descendant of David. But he is greater than David. He is also true God. And this true God comes and he speaks with authority. So then this God-man has the last word. Who has the last word in our lives? Who speaks with authority? And it is Jesus Christ. And this God-man has just affirmed the two commandments. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God totally and completely with your whole heart, soul, and mind. How could the Pharisees think that they have kept this commandment? And they did. They believed they were going to save themselves by their obedience to the law. How can any of us think that we have kept the first commandment? Jesus affirms the commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is our closest neighbor? Our spouse, our family. And have we always been self-sacrificing for them? Have we done everything we possibly could to build them up and support them and make them better people? We've kind of messed it up there too, haven't we? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus speaks with authority. But it's not the last word that he speaks. He also speaks a word of grace. He sees us in our sin. He knows our sinful condition. He knows that it is totally impossible for us to keep the commandments. We cannot save ourselves. We need help. And he speaks the last word, the word of authority, and he gives us his help. He has the power to give us that help because he is the God-man who came down in human flesh to take upon himself the curse of our sin. He is the Lord of David. He is true God, true man, and he enters our humanity, this sinful world, and he comes and he fulfills all the law for us. Who is the one perfect individual in the world? Jesus Christ. And he kept the law. He loved God with his whole heart, soul, and mind. And he loved his neighbor as himself, totally and completely. He kept the law for us. But he also suffered the punishment for us. Remember, this is Tuesday of Holy Week. He knows what's going to happen in a few days. And in just a few days, he's going to go to Calvary's cross. And he is going to suffer and die there. and he's going to endure the punishment for our sin. What did Paul say? The wages of sin is death. And he hangs on that cross and he suffers death in our stead. And God the Father punishes him for our sin. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then on Easter, he rises from the dead. And it proves that God accepted that sacrifice for our sin. It was God's own Son that died for us. God accepted that sacrifice, and now we are washed in his blood, and we have forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now then, since all of our sins are forgiven, do we have to worry about the law anymore? Our sins are forgiven, so I don't need to worry about keeping the law. I can live however I want because Jesus is going to forgive me. And Paul says, no, may it never be. Now as Christians, we strive to live for him. We respond to that last word of forgiveness, your sins are forgiven, by seeking to serve him. We serve him by trusting him totally and completely. We serve him by loving our neighbor as ourselves. We think more of our neighbor than we think of ourselves. We give ourselves totally and completely back to him. In our Old Testament reading for today, Deuteronomy 10, Moses is talking to the children of Israel again, his last few days with them. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. God chose the children of Israel to be his people. Well, guess what? God has chosen us to be his people. We stand before him forgiven, washed in his blood. He has chosen us to be his people, and now we respond. We respond by loving him and loving our neighbor. We trust his authority in all things, and we do not despair. Last week, we had some friends visit us, and we went to the Buffalo Roundup on Friday, last Friday. And we were talking at supper time, and Greg made some comment, but I feel so guilty. And isn't that the way it is with us? We know we should love God totally and completely. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. And we continue to screw up, don't we? It just doesn't happen. Look at all God has done for us, and now 71 years into this life on earth, and I still can't trust God above all things. I still don't love my neighbor as much as I love myself. How can God continue to love me? How can God continue to forgive me? We feel that way. We feel guilty at times, don't we? But we remember who has the last word. It is Jesus Christ, true God, who humbled himself and came to earth for us. True man, who took our sins to Calvary's cross and suffered and died for us. And we can trust this God-man. And we can trust what he says to us. In the absolution, the pastor says, as a called and ordained servant of the Lord and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. We can trust that voice of authority. Who has the last word? Christ has the last word. And what does he say to us? Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.